Welcome to Behind the Design, where we journey through the creative industry. I'm Rogan Jansen, co-founder and creative director of Dash Digital. Our guest today is Mikael Pons, the design director at MediaMonk. Mikael specializes in digital and interactive experiences and has collaborated with some industry giants such as Facebook, Meta, American Express, and the PGA. Today, we're eager to explore his career and design evolution. Hi, Mikael. Lovely to have you here. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Hey. Yeah, thanks for having me.
I think, Mikael, before we even get into your design journey, maybe you could start off with what I've heard you're quite a music lover. So maybe you could let us know who's the latest on your playlist.
So I've been listening to a lot of ambient music and also electronic music lately. And it helps me a lot to be more focused and be more present overall. And yeah, I found it really great. And yeah, one of the bands that I'm listening right now is called Hologram, which is an artist from Montreal. And yeah, I do love their songs and their music. And I found it, yeah, it's really great. I don't know if you know him, but yeah, you should check it out.
Do you listen to music continuously while you work, or are you someone that kind of needs to sometimes design in silence?
Yeah, I think it depends. Mostly when I'm doing creative work, you know, like I love to be surrounded by music. It's kind of part of my daily life. And yeah, I mean, I love it.
Do you play any musical instruments out of interest?
No, not really. I've never been interested in playing any instrument, actually. But I do love listening to a lot of variety of music. Yeah, that's for sure.
If we had to look at your design journey, Mikael, like if you had to look back, what would you say some of your key milestones have been throughout your career?
My first big milestone, I would say, is when I was starting my design degree career back in Spain. And during that time, one of my teachers actually encouraged me to submit my final degree project into the Loves Awards, which is probably the most popular design awards in Spain. So I did it and I submitted and I got a Loves Awards. And yeah, that was huge for me because from that moment, I knew exactly what I wanted to be. So I wanted to be a graphic designer. So yeah, that was really important. And then my second milestone, I would say, is when I moved to Canada and I had the opportunity to join my first agency here, which is called Verset. You move from, you know, your own country to a new country and you don't know anyone. But I felt that the team, you know, was super supportive and, you know, I had a great time there. I also, you know, like started learning like kind of new ways to how we approach, you know, like especially like creative work and design work. That was also, you know, a big milestone as well for me during that time. And I would say the last one is when I joined the team at Gen3. You know, I always admire their work and, you know, I think it's incredible. And yeah, I mean, just having the opportunity to join the team and work on, you know, some of these projects for me was just like, you know, incredible. So yeah, that was also like a big milestone as well for me.
I mean, being a designer then coming from Spain to Canada, was that difficult integrating into a whole new country, an agency where then you obviously had to learn a new language? Was that like a really difficult integration for you?
Yeah, I don't know. I would say it was more challenging than difficult in the beginning. So as I said before, I'm from Spain and I speak Spanish and Catalan. And when I moved to Canada, I had to learn English and actually use the language to, you know, to collaborate with your teammates and do your job. And yeah, I think it was a bit challenging in the beginning, but yeah, after months I started, you know, getting used to it and I felt more, you know, more confident and more comfortable speaking. So, I mean, I think in the beginning, yeah, it was quite challenging.
And then outside of the language, which we've just identified as it would be a huge challenge, have there been any other like massive challenges for you through your career that you've had to overcome?
Of course. Language is obviously one, and especially in the beginning when you don't feel comfortable speaking. But there's also other challenges when you move to a new country. So for example, you know, like maybe there is new ways that or new methodologies that you need to learn, how to approach the work and how you need to collaborate with your teammates, or even like how you need to present to clients, right? I mean, all these things are, they put, kind of put you out of your comfort zone. But obviously, at the same time, there are, you know, positive experiences for you. So I would say, you know, taking these challenges as opportunities are always a great way to kind of, you know, learning things.
Yeah. And then if you look at yourself, so if you look at inspiration, because you live in Montreal, so there's a lot of design inspiration coming of Montreal. You know, when you sit down and you search for inspiration, how does inspiration then guide your creative choices?
Well, for me, inspiration comes from multiple ways. And I don't see inspiration coming from a linear process. It's all about the sources that you could get inspiration from. And it doesn't actually need to come from a design or even creative source. It could come from anywhere. It could be a song, it could be a movie, or even it could be a book or a magazine that you are reading. Sometimes even it could be a dish that you're cooking. To me, I found, you know, like beauty and inspiration in the most trivial things in life. And I think it's how all these things are connected to each other. Lately, I try to avoid even like looking for design inspiration or creative work because, you know, like I found more unique inspiration in other sources, for example. I mean, we have so many resources that we can look at for design today and for inspiration that are available. And I think that's amazing and I think it's great. But I also feel like we should look at other things in life that we could get inspired as well. I also have a true passion for fashion and architecture. I love to look, for example, to know to any type of architecture work or even studios, like how they use the materials. And I think, you know, all of these things are really important for me. As I started also as a graphic designer, I have a true passion for print and magazines and books as well. So even though we are, you know, fully working in digital today, I think, you know, generally the other sources of inspiration could have a huge impact on your work and also your creative choices as well. Yeah.
And then how big would you say your, like the inspiration and referencing, the portion of that part of the project, how big of the process is that for you when you're doing any form of project? Is it quite a big chunk of your process?
I guess, I mean, it depends on the project. Sometimes it could be a big chunk, but sometimes it could be less. And it's definitely one of my favorite parts of any project. When we need to start looking at, you know, inspiration and references. And also it's this phase of the project where nothing has been clearly defined yet. And you have to start looking at those references and inspiration to find, you know, what's the North Star of the project, what's the vision and what's the concept behind, right? So like these references and inspiration that you can find and you can use, you can start like looking at different elements, you know, and how you can start like connecting some of these elements together. And it's when, you know, you can start like finding more like unique patterns for a project that makes this project more unique and different than others. So yeah, definitely this phase of the project, looking at, you know, inspiration and references is one of my favorite parts.
And then in that, during that process, I always like to know this. I think when people hit creative blocks, how do you tend to get over those creative blocks? Because the finding inspiration, like you said, is part of the fun, right? It's easy to spend hours, you can look and like just get everything and like build and build and build. But when you get into it and actually start designing, sometimes you just hit that roadblock. Do you have any kind of process to get out of that?
I mean, for me, going for a walk always works, especially when I need to step out of the creative work, just by having, you know, a short walk and then coming back, I feel more focused and more productive in general. So yeah, walks are a super helpful tip. And then something else that I also found really helpful as well is communication in general, like having a conversation with a friend, with family, or even with a coworker, and where you can establish, you know, like maybe a conversation that is not work related. And even sometimes, you know, if you feel like a creative block, and just reach out to a coworker and feel free to, you know, express yourself and why you feel like this, you know, and people are eager to help you out on that, you know. Having those type of conversation with people that you work with that are usually, you know, on the same spot as you, are super important as well. So those type of, you know, conversations that you can have are always super helpful as well.
Have you always been, I think the communication point is really, really important, right? But have you always been open to ask for help? So where you are in your career now is slightly different, right? Because you're further along and it's easier to ask for help. I think a lot of youngsters struggle with it sometimes because they maybe feel like they shouldn't be asking those kind of questions. Early on in your career, were you quite vocal when you needed help? Or do you think that came as you got a little bit more experienced?
Yeah, it definitely came out after a few years for me. I remember when I started, I was a little bit shy and I didn't want to ask for help, even though I had so many questions at the time. So that's what I'm trying now when I speak with younger designers to, you know, to make them feel like, hey, you know, if you have questions or if you need help, please ask. I think it's really, really important for them to feel confident from the very beginning. And if they have questions or they need some sort of like, you know, help, so they can reach out and they can actually speak up, you know. I think this is important for any young professional starting their careers.
And then if we had to look at the future of design a little bit, so if we had to look maybe at the future of interactive design and where it's moving and how it's evolving, what's exciting you about that currently? Looking at the trends and everything and how quickly it's moving, what does excite you about that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, for me, I see the intersection between interactive design and Gen AI being the future of digital design and also interactive experiences moving forward. I mean, it's happening now, right? But I'm really, really excited to explore more and continue with this path. I can see, you know, big challenges and opportunities and how, you know, we want to explore new worlds as well. And it's also about like how we want to position, you know, and a strategic vision, you know, for brands and companies as well. You know, I think after all is a huge benefit for both agencies and companies. And it's all about, you know, how we want to take that approach into their business. So yeah, I'm super excited about this, as I mentioned. I think another aspect also is, you know, how design could evolve or interactive design could evolve is always by the role of emotion in interactive design, because that's something I'm always been interested with. It's, you know, always finding, you know, these delightful moments through emotion and how we want to create these interactive experiences. You know, I feel as a creative slash designer, you know, like, we always use typography, we use colors and layouts and grids and, you know, and how actually they are all functioning together, right? And how these elements actually create an emotion, I think is what I'm really interested about. You know, like sometimes we forget about this aspect of design, and I feel it's truly important to kind of, you know, put some sort of like emotion behind any type of work. So I hope, you know, like the interactive design evolves always with some sort of like, you know, an emotional touch as well. Yeah.
And then would you say with all the technology that's coming up front, it's making it a lot easier for youngsters to get into the sector or at least into this industry? Because, you know, we speak to a lot of people and there's quite a lot of people that are self-taught now. And back in the day, that was a little bit more difficult to get into the industry being self-taught, where now it's not so much about where and what you studied, but so much about like, are you capable and are you capable of using the tools and do you have the vision to be able to kind of progress? So do you think it's made it a lot easier for youngsters to get into the design industry, looking at, you know, all the new technologies, looking at AI, looking at everything that's around?
Yeah, I mean, 100%. I think it's easier today if you want to start a design career because there is so many resources available out there that you can learn, you know, a lot of new tools and new techniques and new skills as well. So definitely easier than before, I would say. But there is also other aspects that as a designer that you need to learn that are more related to, you know, history of design or typography that are extremely important if you want to be a designer as well.
I remember when we studied, it was a 3-year course. We didn't touch a computer for year one. Type was all hand done. We had to learn typography, make fonts. It was all about like the foundation before you move into a computer, right? So I think as long as the people are learning a little bit more, there's some fundamentals that you can't just pick up. You're going to have to sit down. And there are tools to learn. There's YouTube videos or there's books that you need to research. But they're most probably the most vital part of the learning process I felt in college.
Yeah, I'm totally aligned with you. And definitely like 100% agree on that. Yeah, for sure.
And then if you look, I mean, technology and design is such an evolving field. It changes so quickly. I sometimes feel if you took a year off, you'd get back and you would be so far behind so quickly. How do you then stay curious, you know, and remain at the forefront of pretty much modern design trends and technologies? Because your position, I'm sure you have to be looking at everything that's evolving and all the new modern design trends and techniques. So how do you then stay at the forefront of that?
So for me, I personally always try to stay curious and keep learning from the design community and also from the teammates that I'm able to work every day. I mean, the design community nowadays is incredible. Like it's a big community, right? So I love to see folks like constantly sharing their work and, you know, sometimes exploring new motion patterns or even creating, I don't know, some sort of like interactive experiments. Using new tools and techniques. You know, I love that. I found it super inspiring. Also looking at new trends is really important as well. And also understanding the meaning of the trends. So yeah, I mean, that's also something important as well. But also looking at timeless work, like design work, and understanding why, you know, it's still there and why it's important. So understanding how it works and how it functions and, you know, how it also influences people, how it actually even, you know, impacts us as a designers and creatives into this world, right? I think personally that timeless work should always be a point, you know, of reference for inspiration to look at because I think it helps, you know, to understand how the design field has evolved, you know, from the past.
And then just to end off, it's one question I tend to ask everyone, which it's one of my favorite questions because I learn about a lot of new designers this way as well. But if you were to choose your four favorite agencies, studios or freelancers currently that are really inspiring you, who would those be?
I have a few, yeah. The first one is Space Then, which was a research and design lab from Copenhagen. That they closed their doors recently, but over the last 10 years, they had been, you know, a huge inspiration for me, and always they have been pioneers in design and innovation as well. So yeah, I mean, their work is super thoughtful, super inspiring, and yeah, I love their work too. So yeah, it's a huge reference for me. The second one is Folk Studio, which is a design studio from Barcelona, Spain. And their work is so good. Yeah, it's very conceptual and beautiful too. And I admire their work for a very long time. Yeah, they're great. And the third one is Mesura, which is an architecture studio from Barcelona as well. So I discovered them recently, but I do love their work. I mean, I love spending time on their website and looking at their projects and understanding the meaning of their projects too and how they apply different materials. It's super inspiring as well. That's my list.
That's a good list. I love that list because every name you said, it kind of resonated with me. And obviously the first reference was, it was a sad day when they shut their doors, right? So I remember seeing that post and I was a little bit like, what? No. You know, like that moment of going like, no. So it was a sad day. So when you mentioned it, I was like, oh, awesome. Those references are really great. Mikhail, thank you so much for joining us. I think this was awesome and I really enjoyed sitting with you. Thanks again for taking the time and sitting with us. I really do appreciate it and I hope you have a great day.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
And that concludes an exciting episode of Behind the Design. If you're eager to delve deeper into the world of digital design and catch up on our conversations with inspiring creatives, just search for Behind the Design on your favorite podcast platform. For a closer look at today's content, including artwork and relevant links, visit our website at dashdigital.studio/behindthedesign. Keep an eye on future episodes by following us on Instagram. Thanks again for joining us. I'm your host, Rogan Janssen, and I look forward to catching up with you soon for more insightful conversations with creative industry founders, artists, and thought-provoking individuals.